It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you. Good to see you once again. Hey, you were talking to me off air before we started our show today that you're seeing more and more older people in your counseling. Mm-hmm. Not just because KCIS reaches an older demo, but there is some issues going on with older people, and you want to talk about that this week.
Yeah, that's my generation, actually.
Yeah. Well, me too, getting there. I'm 61 now, so I'm technically getting to be a senior citizen pretty soon.
And I see a significant number of people now who are in their 60s, 70s, and also I have people that I talk to in their 80s, and all believers. And so it's interesting to see them approaching those years and myself approaching those years where my wife and I live on our backyard is pretty small, but there's a bluff there and goes down quite a ways. And then maple saplings grow lower down. And by the time we can see them over our hedge, they're probably 30, maybe 40 feet tall.
Hmm.
And so I have to go down the hill every couple of years.
Right.
That's pretty steep. Hmm. It's hand over hand every couple of years with a machete and a electric chainsaw, so I don't have to carry a gas can and all that
right.
down, and try to knock those saplings down so that we don't lose our view.
Right.
But every couple years, you know, it seems like that gets steeper and it's harder to get back up the hill.
Does it really get steeper though? I feel that way when I try and clean my pool every year. I'm getting too old for this.
Well, what's getting steeper is the decline kind of the tail end of the graph in terms of our strength and our inspiration and those kinds of things. Yeah.
Right.
But I want to focus on a number of things for these. I talk to these older people, and we sometimes we commiserate a bit, but then we encourage one another. And I want to talk a little bit about how we want to finish strong. And I want to finish my life strong. I want, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, says that he had not yet understood. He's used that word, the reason that he was. The Lord chose him. But he said, I reached to the goal, and he was reaching to the goal all of his life. Mm. I was looking at again a passage that I think I've reflected on last week, and this was from Philippians chapter 4, and it talks about. He mentions the peace of God in here. He's talking about be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And that's so important, but let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And this is one of the things that I know that this group of people, as we get older, we certainly want peace, particularly in our surroundings. Peace is such a elusive thing some days. And then in the next verse, Paul talks about, you know, whatsoever things are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable and excellent. You know, just think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I've paraphrased. He's talking about do what you've seen me do, and the God of peace will be with you. And those are great promises. But one of the key things that we have to remember, and I'm talking to us older folks now, some of the key things that we have to remember is that yes, as we age, we leave things behind, but the things we leave behind are the part of our temporal world. And we have always been a spiritual people. Mm. And so the things that we're approaching, we're leaving behind the temporal things and really the weights and the baggage. But what we're approaching is our spiritual maturity, our spiritual goal. Mm. And so I want you, as we talk in the show today, to focus on that you're growing closer, you're getting closer to your life's purpose, not just so much in terms of ministry, although that can certainly be part of it, but relationship with God, your understanding of the Lord. But there are some issues, aren't there? So I have down here, how do you go forward when life seems to be behind you? Mm. I talk about living in the past or living in the rearview mirror, where it's hard to set goals was one of the things that we talk about in enlarging your world. You have to pursue challenges and you pursue relationships. But I talk to so many people who, when we start getting older, we begin to lose relationships. Those people who are in their 90s, and now we've even seen, it seems like there's been in the news or on Facebook that I've seen some tags of, you know, there were a couple of gals in 105, two ladies in a retirement home that had both had birthdays the same day, and they were both like 105 years old. And so people are getting older.
Oh, yeah.
People are getting older.
Yeah, they get so old that they start losing their own kids who die of old age.
Yeah, yeah. Know? And so we see some of that. So we leave these things behind. We leave behind, we become, alone, feeling lonely. Health, you know, we were talking about just a moment ago, health, except now I have a friend whose parents both lived to be at a pretty ripe age. And so in his DNA, he's probably got some years left. Yeah. I'm in pretty good shape for 73, but I don't see any long living people in my in the family. So if you don't have the genetics for it, you're probably the hill's going to get steeper pretty quick here. So I don't know, how many years the Lord has in store for us. The Lord knows your appointed time. And I tell people, we always have all of the time and all of the resources to do exactly what God wants us to do. Every person listening to me, in every day of your life, you have all of the time and all of the resources to do exactly what God wants you to do for that time. But we leave behind our health, our strength. I was talking to a gal yesterday, where older gal, and we were talking about how in our minds we're always 30-something, but our bodies tell us that that's not true. We leave behind our
strength.
What is
the age when they feel like you've pretty much reached your complete maturity mentally? Mid-20s or?
I hope not. Okay. That doesn't bode well. Yeah. But
certainly not all your life experiences by your mid-20s, but you've grown as much as you will, at least physically. Mm-hmm. I've heard it's like in the mid-20s.
Yeah. Yeah, mid-20s, maybe a 10-year window, the mid-20s, mid-30s, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And we leave behind friends. I've got a couple of guys that I go to lunch with them maybe once a month or twice a month, and we have a long history, but we've forgotten so much of our of our history. And so when we're visiting, we can kind of see that we're aging, we're getting older, and we joke around about it.
Well, what happens when you go to like the high school reunion? Did you go to your 50-year high school reunion?
I did. It feels like it was 50 years ago, but I did go to the 50, and there are very few people there.
Yeah.
Did
you have a big high school?
No, it was a small high school, and in fact, I think there were only probably 25 people in the graduating class. It was a small senior class, and there probably weren't more than 10 at the class reunion. And then you hear the loss.
A lot of people have died.
Yeah, yeah. And family. You were mentioning that sometimes the parents now outlive the kids, or the kids they start their own families and they start their own traditions. And one of the things that we have to understand too is our kids don't love us the way we love our kids. So they love their kids the way we love them, and then they love us the way we loved our parents. And if we can remember back the way that we loved our parents, we were always quite on our own path, and our parents were somewhat left behind. Right. And it's the same with this generation. So the family and our energy. And then those are sort of regrets.
But what about the culture's obsession more than ever with youth? Youth and beauty. I would think that would bring a lot of pressure as you get older too.
Yeah, because it has to do with relevance, and I think that's one of the key things is feeling that you've lost your relevance. Mm-hmm. And so back to that, we do lose in some ways our relevance, but we're maturing spiritually, and so we have to keep in mind that that what God has planned for my life, you know, there's no small act and there's no moment that's unimportant. So God knows where we are in our life. We, as far as He's concerned, we don't become irrelevant. We become more relevant. We become we walk closer with Him. And when we get a little further along here, we're going to talk about the strength of the older generation. Mm-hmm. Changes in the community, that's another thing that I think is difficult for us as we get older. Changes in the world, changes in the community, and changes in the church. Worship has changed. I remember being a young Christian in church, and during the Jesus People movement back in my, you know, late teens and early 20s, and I remember going to services where the young people were hopping up and down and jumping around and clapping, and the older people were sort of more reserved and quiet. Well,
isn't it like that now too, though?
It is like that now, but I'm on the other side of the scene. But I remember thinking back then.
I want to say, sit down.
Yeah, I remember thinking back then that boy, these older people just don't get it. I mean, they're quiet. They're kind of on the benches. Looking and did they ever really know God? Well, now I'm one of those old folks, and I know the young people look and say, you know, boy, these old people, they're just quiet. But it is, you know what it is? It's because when you get old, you have so much information and you just don't feel that the younger people are listening to it.
Right.
And so you don't bother to share a lot, and the older people are passed over. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame because they are the untapped resource a lot of times and the real strength of the church. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to touch, too, on some things that I've talked of at length about. When we get older, you know, our personalities are defense mechanisms, basically. Mm-hmm. They're about safety and security, and that begins at the beginning of even in the womb and certainly as our mind begins to develop once we're born. We take on behaviors and choices that add up to a sense of safety and security for ourselves. And so that's the core of our personality, safety and security. It's sort of a defense mechanism. Now, to develop my personality, I need to venture out away from my defense mechanisms. I need to take a chance and build trust, and I do that in a community of people who have done the same. So we're all equally we're mutually vulnerable, and so we form these relationships. But as you get older and you begin to have these losses in strength and energy and those kinds of things, you begin to feel more vulnerable and you begin to act and behave more self-protecting. Mm-hmm. So I say your personality gets smaller. You become more tightly wrapped around your defense mechanisms. Not only you. So I've talked to people who will go to like a Bible group. Older people go to a Bible group or go to a
like a home group.
A home group, mm-hmm. or they'll go to some sort of a service group, like maybe some gals just have a support group or a chat group or a sewing group or a painting, and they get together and what I've heard them, some of them report that it's even hard to get along in those situations, because not only is my personality getting smaller, but those around me, those aging people around me, their personalities are getting smaller, and there's not as much effort given in actually trying to form relationships. Everybody's kind of hunkering down, mm-hmm. and into that. And we find that also in the church. So it's a challenge. Our world starts to shrink, and we start living in the rearview mirror instead of looking toward our hope. And so I guess when we come back from the break, I want to focus more on the strength of you know, things we can do.
Things you can do to get along in your later years, be more fruitful. That's the subject this week on the Sound Mind broadcast. And as Dan said, he does counsel a lot of older people. So you're not alone if you're feeling some depression and some anxiety in your older years. He can maybe help you with that. How do people get in touch with you, Dan?
The phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. The website is BibleBasedCounselor.com. I have offices at Kirkland and Edmonds, and then I also do, probably half of my clients now are Zoom clients because that's just so convenient for people sometimes.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel talking us through some of the things we can do to be more fruitful in our later years. And Dan, you wanted to start talking about some practical ways to deal better with your aging.
Yeah, I want to quickly just look at Philippians 4:8, and it says here, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, things of excellence, if they're worthy of praise. Now, if you think about that, that's pretty broad. We tend to think that we need to be either praying or in a Bible study group or something like that, or we're just not, it doesn't count. It's not spiritual. But these other things, I want to stress the fact that these things that we mention here, that Paul mentions, true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent. If you read that list, nothing there would exist if it weren't part of the nature of God. Those all describe the nature of God: true, honorable, just, pure, lovely. And so, what about arts and crafts? Are they pure? Yes. Are they honorable? Yes. Are they lovely? Yes. My mother, when she was getting into her later years, and she and my dad lived at maybe some of you are familiar with North Haven, it's a 10-story building up there by Northgate, and it's a retirement place for older folks. Mm-hmm. And so they lived there, and her name was Margaret, and there were a couple of other gals there named Margaret, and then her granddaughter's name was Margaret. So they started the Margaret Club.
Okay.
Another thing that they did was my mother started what she called the Whiz Bangers and and the Reading Theater. And so what she did was the people really got excited about it. They had the Whiz Bangers with a group of older people that made their own instruments. Like they would do kazoos, and they would tape these kazoos onto oil funnel things to give them some volume. And so they would play kazoos, and one guy made a string, tub bass or something like that, where you put a stick in a tub and a string on it, and the tub gives the volume. So they had these weird instruments, and they actually did some songs, and they went around to other retirement homes and rest homes, this group. And then the other thing that she did was the Reading Theater. Well, nobody could remember their lines, so they all read their lines, and they often didn't read them very well or correctly, so it was kind of a hoot. She started doing watercolor painting, and actually they had a thing at the Seattle Art Museum where they invited people from the community to have art on this one particular month that they did, and so she had some things at the art museum. Now, not everybody has that kind of energy. And if you're at a rest home or retirement home, you might not have a person with that kind of energy. Although you probably have somebody that plans the outings and activities, and you can get involved in those things. I have down here, you know, arrange your life like a bouquet. It doesn't all have to be a Bible study or prayer. There are other things that interest you, that give you pleasure in life. Those are godly things. If there's anything good about it, that goodness is part of God's nature. So we need to remember that we can enjoy ourselves. But we do want to make spirituality the priority, because, as I say, our life has been a spiritual journey. we're spiritual beings, and we're leaving this temporal life we've lived has been a tutor. It's taught us about God, but the priority has always been our relationship with God. So I wanted to say something about church, and I know how difficult that church can be, particularly when you see the church culture always going toward the youth, and it seems like that we older folks kind of get off to the side. Although, Mark, you were saying your congregation, the church you attend is an older congregation.
It is, yeah.
The church I attend is an older congregation, and there are churches out there with older congregations. As I said, though, one of the problems is all these elderly people in these older congregations that each person's world has a tendency to be getting smaller as they age, so it takes a little bit more effort to pursue those relationships and pursue challenges. Mm-hmm. So use what life has taught you, spiritual maturity, efficiency, and no task is too small. I have it down here. Maybe you've read the book or heard of the book, What Color is Your Parachute?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Now, well, the title itself has implications. The fact that it's a parachute means that I'm going to have to make a jump here, and that's going to be a little bit maybe frightening. And then the idea of what color is your parachute, it's almost what does it matter what color the parachute is? The big thing is I'm going to do the scary jump. Well, we do have to take chances in life, and we do have to move forward. But what is it that you do? And I remember, and this was similar to a gal that I talked to in the last couple of days, but where I was of the mind in church, being one of the older folks and saying, what is my relevance here? What can I be doing? And so the thought came to mind, well, if I knew such and such, I could do that. Or if I were better at this, I could do that. If I were more prepared over here, I would do this. But it was like I just got this epiphany, or the Lord spoke to me somehow and said, but what do you do? Not what could you do, or what would you do, or what should you do, but what is it that you actually do? What do you do? And I thought about that, and I thought, well, I encourage people. And then it just was like, is this an epiphany? Well, that's what you do then. That's your reason for being at church. That's what you do. And so what is it that you do? What color's your parachute, I say? And there's no task too small, because every thing that we do spiritually is building and edifying the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So we want to be focused. We know how to work smart, because our years have taught us what things are important and what things are less important. So we can work smart. Remember also Hebrews 12:1, where Paul talks about running the race set before you. So again, what do you do? What is the race set before you? Are you an encouragement? List off a few things here. Prayer, and I've got that one underlined. Prayer, I think, has always been the lost art in the church. There are some people that know how to pray. Most people don't know how to pray. But as older people, we've learned how to pray, or we should.
It's never too late to learn how to pray better.
Or to pray better, yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're powerful in prayer. We're not so distracted. We're not distracted by so many things as we used to be when we were younger, and so we can be powerful prayer warriors. And prayer is the most powerful thing in the world, mm-hmm. and so prayer is important. Wisdom, the years have taught us wisdom, and the church needs that wisdom. We can be encouragers just by modeling peace and confidence and calm. We can encourage, and we anchor, older people anchor the body of Christ without even saying anything, by just going, Scripture says that the body of Christ is built up and edified by that which every joint supplies, according to the working of God in the individual. I'm paraphrasing that. So even God's work in your life anchors the body of Christ, even as you go and you just exude confidence and calm and peace. You're ministering to the body of Christ. I want to say something really quickly to people who want to learn from older people. Older people, we're the untapped wealth in the church. Mm-hmm. If you want to learn from older people, you have to be sincere. Because they have a lot of wisdom, but they're not likely to want to to share it all, because they don't feel that you're listening and they don't feel that it's important to you. But they have a lot of wisdom. So be sincere, be respectful, be attentive, be patient, and be quiet. As young people, we're jumping around, we got a lot of energy, and the old people are not going to try to interject their wisdom. So if you want to learn from old people and tap into this wealth, you have to be respectful and quiet and patient, because they'll speak, but not until they know that you're actually teachable and that it's actually relevant and that it's actually important to you. So I hope that encourages older folks like me. You know, we're not through. These are our best years, our more powerful years. We're done with distractions from the world. Doesn't mean we can't enjoy ourselves and when we have the energy and make our life a bouquet. But the important things, the spiritual things, those are the things that we're really prepared for.
Want to finish strong, yeah. Being fruitful in your later years, the subject this week on the Sound Mind broadcast. People are intrigued. Daniel, they need help. I'm thinking of a woman maybe who has a husband who's just completely closed off, knows he's depressed, and he needs someone to talk to about some of these issues, and maybe they want to talk to you. How do they get in touch with you?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. The podcast of the show will be at BibleBasedCounselor.com, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Offices Kirkland and Edmonds. And as I say, I do a lot of Zoom counseling because it's very convenient for some people.
Okay. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.